Amen. Isn't it beautiful to hear the life of church? For those of you that aren't here in the building, what we just heard were the children with excitement going out and getting ready to be discipled. Amen. Well, friends, I want to ask you, if you would, to prepare yourself for what I know is going to be a very special time with the living God. Now, let me ask you a question, as I like to do as we often begin. And I want you to lean in, if you will. I want you to press into this one. We just got finished singing praise and worship songs, the last one being my very favorite of all the contemporary Christian songs. We talked about walking by faith. The song says, in essence, "Thank you, Lord. I recognize this broken road. This broken road is what is leading me to your plan." So let me ask you just a few questions as we begin. You ready? So what's it going to take to make you happy? What's it going to take to make you happy? How about this one? What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure for our family in other parts of the world? That's a way of speaking here in the U.S. that we often talk about. What's your pleasure? Let me ask you the third one, and then we'll pray. What do you suppose happiness, pleasure, and joy have in common? What do happiness, pleasure, and joy have in common? Let me let you in on a little secret. Not as much as you might think. Hold those thoughts, and let's pray and ask the living God to come and meet us right here. And you watch as the answers to those questions come jumping out of the pages of God's word. Oh Lord, I come to you now and I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, those that are listening now live and those that may hear you and your word, your preaching and your teaching at a later time, I pray, Lord, that they've come ready for you to do a work in them, on them, for them, all by your grace and all for your glory. Amen and amen. Well, for those of you that haven't been with us, let me just bring you into our context. We're in a sermon series that is entitled No Matter What. We're in the scriptures, walking through the book of 1 Peter. And if somebody that has been with us were to give you kind of their own little review or summary, what they might tell you is, if I had to say one thing, it's, boy, are we slowing down. We've been slowing down. We're in week number 8, and we're going to crack into verse number 6 of chapter 1. And the key there is crack into. You see, we're just going to start at the very beginning of verse 6. And in so doing, I pray that you will be blessed. Because what we've been doing is we've been slowing down to see blessings so that we may be blessings. And that's going to continue here, I pray, in a way that will bless you eternally. Now, with that said, let me give you kind of the preview of where we're going. So you've got the broad context. Let me preview what we're going to do today so you can get ready. We're going to have a 5-point sermon. 5 points. Now, that might be pushing it a little bit sometimes. You know, I'm told in my teaching and preaching classes that you want to keep them to 3 points. Can't do it. Today is 5 points. The good news is it's going to be very easy to follow because we have a 5-word sermon text. So the 5 points are going to be the 5 words that come from God. And I pray when we're done, you walk away saying, wow, that was a lot richer, a lot deeper than I might have thought. I'm sure glad we slowed down again. Let me tell you the text. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6a. Just the beginning, first 5 words. Let me give you those 5 words and also give them to you in a way that you'll see we're going to break out as a sermon outline. In this, you greatly rejoice in this, you greatly rejoice. Now, let me do that not for an outline, but let me show you some meat and meaning through the simple application of some inflection with my voice. In this, you will be blessed. You will rejoice. In this, you greatly 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 rejoice. Praise God. This is our text for today. So walk with me, if you will. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, come with me. Open them up to 1 Peter chapter 1. And watch what happens as we unpack this little bit of God's word. And I pray, watch him impact the biggest part of your life, that which is going into the eternal realities. So when we look at this, point number one, pillar number one, in, hear me, in is in. In what? Well, for our purposes, in the bins. I want you to think about what it is to be in the bins. And if you've not been with us and you say, what in the world's he talking about? I want to encourage you to go back to last week's sermon and you'll see what I mean about being in the bins. Without Christ, you're in the bin of the world and you have no hope. In Christ, you have eternal inheritance in heaven. So when we talk about being in, the first thing I want you to see is the power of in. In is not around. In is not near. In is not about proximity. In is in. And when we think about this as Christians, and what I want to share with you that aren't Christians, is we're all about in. Think about the Trinity. Three in one. God is all about in. We learned about the sacrificial atonement system. If you're in heaven, if you're in the inheritance family of God, it's because of exactly that. You're in him and he's in you. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's all about being in Christ. If you're the church, if you're a real Christian, you are in the family of God. It's all about this. You have living hope in Christ. You have, we've learned, an eternal inheritance in heaven. Think about it in our everyday lives, regular conversation. Words like inclusive, it means included, you're a part of. Invested, vested in something or someone else. Incredible. Beyond credible acceptance. This word in, it's loaded. Loaded with potential. Loaded with power. It's not an accident. In this, you greatly rejoice. I want you to think long and hard. Pray, and if need be, cry out to Christ that in can be yours. It matters eternally. Now we go on, and it's in what? It's in this. Well, what's this? This is blessing. This is blessing like no other. In this blessing. Let me tell you the timeless truth for today's message. It's right here. In this, first time in 18 years I've done this. Today's big idea, the timeless truth, it's the exact same as last week. New scripture, same big idea. What is it? It's this. It's this right here. Nothing compares or even comes close to being a biblical Christian. This blessing right here. If you're a Christian, nothing on the planet compares to your blessing. This is why we rejoice. Not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, we get to. I have this blessing in this blessing of being a biblical Christian. They say, well, where exactly do you get that from? Those of you that haven't been with us, in the first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, it's been like an avalanche of blessing. Over and over and over again, we've already seen. At the end of last week's sermon, I offered to you in the notes, I said, there's at least 50 places where you can see in these first five verses this incredible pool of blessings that God has given to us. Now, think about it. We see an average guy, Simon, miraculously turned into a Peter. We see this average guy now become an apostle, a set apart, sent servant of the living God. And we see already, right at the very beginning, Almighty God, Jesus the Christ. He's God. We see already in this, as we've unpacked it over and over and over again, there's a blessing that's called the people of God. You're the elect. If you're a Christian, you're blessed to be in the elect. If you're going to be a Christian, you're blessed to be in the elect. Now, you're going to also be a blessed exile. You're going to be an empowered pilgrim in a foreign land. We as citizens of heaven get to live down here in the swamp and be the light in the darkness. We get to be the lips and the fingertips of Almighty God. We get to be his ambassadors as exiles. We get to be the scattered evangelists. We've seen that God's people are all over the world. We get to be that pool of the Almighty's people. Again, blessing upon blessing in this blessing. And we see in this blessing, it's for, so now we have a purpose. You're blessed to have a purpose. For obedience. There's your objective. You're blessed to obey. You're blessed to know what it is to have God say, well done. You know what it is to be blessed and have the Lord say, that's right, faithful fruit. I'm pleased with you. We get to have this. In this. What's it going to take to make you happy? What's your pleasure? This? I pray this is at the core of your want to. This is at the core of your walk, your work, your worship, your witness. In this, you are greatly, greatly blessed. And that's why in this you greatly rejoice in this. Now, some would still wonder, what exactly? I mean, help me put this into context. And so last week I offered you a visual. I said, let's take a look at what it is to understand the Christian's blessing chain. Let me show it to you here again, just as a reminder. And you can see that you, Christian, this blessing, you are in this blessing of God's grace. You, Christian, are in this reality of God's love. He so loved the world that he gave his only son that you would have eternal life, Christian. In this, you're in the mercy of God. You ready? And I say this passionately. You're not in hell right now. Let that sink in. You are so blessed in this. You're not in hell right now. And to be clear, that's what every one of us deserves. The very mercy of God. In this, you had a relationship. You were foreknown by God. He loved you before you were even a thought. In this, you rejoice. You were chosen. I want to ask you, Christian, so what'd you do to get chosen? What made you choice worthy? Answer, nothing. Squat. None. the grace and the love and the mercy of my God chose me in this. He didn't just call, he didn't just choose you, then he called you, right? He didn't just say, hey, by the way, your name's on the roster. No, your name's on the roster because he chose you and then he came to get you. John 6:44. In this being drawn to God, you're blessed. And he didn't just call you. He did the work on the cross, the sacrificial atonement system, what we learned. He paid the price for your sins, Christian. He forgave you, you wretch. Me, wretch. He forgave us. He redeemed us. You've been justified. In this. We rejoice. Amen. Praise God. Woo! I'm on the family team. Then he didn't just say, okay, I drafted you. Now you're on the rookie squad. You're on the team officially. No, you're going to play on the field. I'm going to sanctify you, says God. You're blessed in this. You're getting scrubbed clean by the King of Kings. You're being worked on. You're being worked into his plans. In this. Now check this out. He doesn't just save us. He doesn't just sanctify us. Then he guards us. He guards us. You want to know your blessing? Your blessing's like my blessing. If you're a Christian, check this out. You can't fail at sanctification. How's that? You can't fail at sanctification because you're being guarded by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you've been justified and you're being sanctified, you're going to be glorified. It's a done deal. Because it's not up to you or me. This chain of blessings, it's not yours. It's not mine. We're not in control. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In this. And he's going to bring you home. You're going to be glorified, Christian. Now let me be clear. If you're a churchgoer, no promise. If you're religious, no promise. If you're a counterfeit, no promise. But if you've received the miracle of saving grace, if you're in the family of God, if you were chosen, called, justified, sanctified, guarded, you will be glorified in heaven one day. That's good news in this. All right, we've got the first two words covered. Where do we go from here? We get real personal right here. It's you. It's you. This is not some public service announcement. This is not for four zip codes on the other side of town. This is for you. In this you, I know the living and loving God who's personal. Do you know him? Do you love him? Is this your God, your promise? In this you, let me be clear, you means you. I pray you hear how personal the proclamation is here. In this, some of the folks will, in this, everybody who's from that, in this you, praise God, it's a personal proclamation. It's a personal proclamation going out. And it's a personal proclamation to take in. He's talking to you, Christian. He's talking to me. In this you, hear not just the personal proclamation. How about the personal promise? Right? God's going to tell you and me something here. We know what it is, that we're going to greatly rejoice. Guess what? When he makes you a promise, it's a guarantee. You will, whatever God says you will. In this place, you're going to rejoice greatly. Amen. Amen. You personally, hear the promise. Hear the personal purpose. Right? It's not just, well, that's what my church is about. Or, well, that's what that, it's you. Personal purpose. Well, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Well, you're going to greatly rejoice. That's what you're going to do. You will. It's personal. It's a purpose. Amen. We get to be the living light of the living and loving Lord in this dark and dying world. When you and I are greatly rejoicing, let me tell you, they may not like it, but the world takes notice. This is at the heart of my life verse, Titus 2:15. Let no one disregard you. Doesn't mean get loud. It means rejoice. It means live as light in a dark world. Be the aroma of Christ. Be my ambassador. Wherever you go, I go. In this you, Christian, hear as well the priority. Let me tell you, we're about to be told that we're to do what we do greatly. It's not a back burner, peripheral side issue. It's not something, oh, hey, by the way, if you have a little extra time, get a little rejoicing in, would you? It's good for you. No, 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 no. This is a priority. Hear the personal priority from the living God. In this you, and hear the passion. Hear the passion. In this you, right? And I know it's passion because I know what comes next. The word greatly and rejoice. Oh, yeah, I'm going to rejoice. Can't do it. If you're rejoicing, it's passionate. And if you're not passionate, you're not rejoicing. Oh, don't tell me. I know this. I've read the catechism. I know how to do this. That's not rejoicing. No, you'll see in a minute. That's not rejoicing. There's personal passion here. And this is the instruction, the insight, the love of the living God laying this out before us. In this you greatly. Think about that. In this you greatly. In this you greatly rejoice. What do you know about this word greatly? Greatly is a descriptive word. It's about to tell us something else. Well, greatly speaks to the manner of something. How are you going to do it? Oh, Pastor Charlie, he's going to do it greatly. Right? How? What's the manner? The manner of what you're about to do, we're told here, it's done greatly. Right? It's not a, well, I'll give it a little bit, but you know, I'm not going to go over the top. This is an over the top. Greatly is over the top. Greatly is all I've got. The manner in which I do this, it's going to be great. You watch. I'm going to give this all I have. This is done greatly. It's not just the manner in which you do it. It's the magnitude. It's the muchness. How much are you going to do it? Oh, I'm going to do it a ton. There's going to be so much of this. It's a greatly effort. It's a greatly example. The magnitude of this is going to blow you away. The muchness is going to be great. It also speaks to the quality. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be magnificent because it's going to be done greatly. And please notice, these are not my terms. I'm not unpacking my opinion. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. This is the word of God. This is God saying, in this blessing that you have, you personally, greatly, this is how you do it. It's not just the manner. It's not just the muchness. It's not just the magnificence. Because we're talking about rejoicing in Jesus. Well, that means it's miraculous. The greatly, because you can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody rejoices, let alone greatly rejoices, in the fullness of the blessing of what it is to be a Christian, unless you've been miraculously captured by grace, unless the living God has loved you in and through the gospel. So greatly here, it's the manner, it's the magnitude, the muchness, it's the magnificence, it's also the miraculous. You want to know why you're going to greatly rejoice? Because you've received the miracle of the living God. We know him as the Messiah. And so if you're going to greatly, it's because it's messianic. the Messiah has to be in there, otherwise you don't get the definition of greatly. And you won't be one who rejoices. So we know right here already that this has to be a messianic aspect. That's the only place the miracles of God will come from. He's at work in us. In this, again, nothing compares or even comes close to being a biblical Christian. That's what we're being shown here by slowing down. In this you greatly. It's not just great in manner. It's not just great in magnitude and muchness. It's not just great in its magnificence. Not just great in its miraculous. Not just great in its messianic. It's great in its missional application. There's a missional purpose for your great rejoicing. I want you to think about it. There is a purpose. It's not just, I can't help myself. It's, I get to show the world. I get to. I don't just want to, I get to. Part of the rejoicing is the I get to reality. In this, you greatly rejoice. Let's take the balance of our time left and let's unpack this word. Let's unpack this word to see how it impacts God's word and how it's meant to impact you and me. At the end of today, this sermon will go into our definition series under rejoice. And I pray that what we learn and see and experience together, where we've already been and where we'll go, I pray that again it changes you forever. This is an expression of God's great love. This is again coming under the teaching and preaching of the living God's word that gives you living hope and a lasting inheritance in heaven. So when we look at this word greatly, let me begin by saying it's a word that you will find in the Bible at least 200 times. If you look for rejoice, rejoicing, so forth, you'll find approximately 200 times. Our God is speaking to this. And this is going to catch some of you a little bit by surprise, if you look for the word joy, joyous, you'll find that another 200 plus times. And what most people don't know is that in many of those cases, it's the same word. It's the same word in the original language. Not always, but oftentimes. So when we talk about rejoice, we're talking about joy. So let's understand this, both of them. Rejoice is a compound word. In its original language, rejoice is a compound word, similar to sunshine. Sunshine, you know, means the sun is shining. Breakfast, breaking your fast. Now you're going to eat. Compound words, two words, each one having a meaning and a purpose, and you put them together, and it makes a new word. It's kind of a nuance of both. Well, when we talk about rejoice in the original language, the two words that come together, the first one is much or very. The second word is leaping or jumping with excitement. Not jumping as though you're doing exercise, but jumping with the purpose of expressing excitement. So what we have is a word that says much jumping with excitement. So now I want you to think about this. If we have an understanding of rejoicing that is cool, calm, and collected, we're not fulfilling, we're not appreciating, we're not receiving or expressing the fullness of it. It's having an overflowing of jumping and leaping excitement. And it's in Christ. It's from Christ. It's for Christ in the Bible. This is pretty cool, because if you've ever thought about rejoicing or joy and you didn't have this picture, then you might have been missing something. And I pray part of today is that you and I get to see, wow, God has so much here for us. A simple way to understand it: to rejoice is to put joy in action. Rejoicing is joy in action. If joy were to become a verb, it would be rejoice. They're that closely connected. Now, some of you may not be aware, but joy is a gift, a grace gift from God. Now, I want you to think about that, because in this, in becoming a Christian, in being the Christian, you get joy. You get it. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it up. But you get joy. I want you to think about this in terms of a definition, a description. We're going to look at the counterfeits. Then I want you to see it in Creator God, Christ Himself. And then ending, we'll finish with our Christian rejoicing. So the definition we've seen, let me give you a help for the ways of describing and remembering. When it comes to rejoicing, I want to give you an acrostic. I want you to take the word rejoice, and each of those letters, R, E, J, which is tough to fit into an acrostic, O, I, C, E, and you watch and see how this all comes together. You see, rejoicing is joy in your life. It's joy coming in and through your life. So let's look at this acrostic. To describe rejoice, it's to begin with the letter R. R stands for responding to joy. When you rejoice, it is because you are responding to joy. You say, what do you mean responding to joy? Well, you first come to understand that if you have joy, you've received it, because you can't get it any way else. So when you receive the gift of joy, which comes with the receiving of Christ as Lord, and you receive the fruit of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5, this is what we see. If you have joy, it's because when the Holy Spirit captured you, indwelt you, is another in word, right? Indwelt, dwelling in. When you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, He brought joy. If you're a Christian, you've got joy. You've got the potential to rejoice. No excuses. None. Realities, yes. Excuses, not a one. To rejoice is to respond to the grace gift of joy. E in rejoice, once you've received and begin to respond, you engage joy. You engage joy. Let me give you an example. Heather's in the back, three beautiful children. She goes home today and she brings a new bicycle for the kids. They've received it. Mom says, you've got it. They respond, thank you, Mom. They're not really enjoying until they engage that. Same with you and me. You and I need to engage the joy that God gave us. How many of us throw pity parties all the time? Pity parties are nothing more than pride turned inward. When you're grumbling, you're not engaging the joy that you've been given. You're choosing the half empty instead of the overflowing. You and I, if we're going to understand and live rejoicing, we need to engage the joy that was blood bought, by the way, to give you as a Christian. Now, if we're going to rejoice, we need to understand the J of rejoice, and that's juxtaposing. For all of our international family, I'm sorry for that word. It means to come alongside. It's to connect. You and I need to juxtapose. We need to connect joy to all the parts of our lives. I can engage it on Sunday mornings, but boy, what a desert I'm in by the middle of the week. I need to juxtapose joy into every corner, nook, and cranny of life. The degree to which we do, we live in victory. We're rejoicing. The degree to which we don't, we're very vulnerable to attack. And frankly, we often fall down on the side of the road because we haven't taken the joy that God gave us, that Christ bought on the cross and delivered when he walked out of the tomb alive. Literally, Acts 1:8, you receive power when my Holy Spirit comes on you. That power is in part to rejoice, to plug joy into all of our lives. Now, here's my favorite, the O of rejoice. If you've responded, if you're engaging, if you're connecting all over, you're going to ooze joy. You're going to ooze joy. It gets sticky and messy. If you've ever been around somebody that's oozing joy, truth of the matter is they either inspire you or they get you kind of angry. Right? It's like, would you just knock it off? Right? But I wish I had a nickel for every time I've like, that can't be fake. It's fake. You're being a fake. And you know what? Sometimes they are. But you get around the real deal. You get around where somebody is oozing joy. They're rejoicing. That's what you're seeing. The oozing is the rejoicing. The joy is the same joy any Christian has been given. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What you do with it, some just ooze. Isn't it beautiful? Convicting sometimes, but absolutely beautiful. May we be those who ooze joy. We rejoice. If you are the oozer, you're going to embrace and be the I in rejoice. You're going to inspire joy. You're going to inspire others to joy. You know, I'm a Christian just like them. Why am I walking around all the time seeing the glass half empty? I want to be an oozer. I want to be one who's inspiring others the way I've been inspired to embrace the grace and the sea of rejoice. I want to celebrate joy. I want people to see me oozing joy. I want to inspire them to the joy as they join me as I'm celebrating the joy that Christ gave me. And when that happens, you're now living in the E of rejoice. You're exemplifying joy. I mean, you cut them and they bleed joy. You put them through a really difficult time and you can't suck the joy out of them. My wife Kim and I went early on in our ministry, went to a conference, and they said, okay, all you young couples, you new pastors and pastors' wives, we want to give you a warning, right? And I'm kind of, all right, I'm ready. And I'm thinking, okay, what's the theology lesson here? And they got real deep. They said, beware the joy suckers. They're out there. Beware the joy suckers. You're exemplifying joy when the joy suckers can't drain you because you're celebrating what is an inspirational joy that's oozing out of you because it's plugged into every part of you after you've engaged it and received it. Now, let me just be clear. That's the bullseye. That's the goal. To be honest, the last 10 days, I haven't oozed a drop. I've been struggling. Many of you are struggling right now. And we're going to struggle throughout our lives. But don't let the struggle distract you from the bullseye. Don't let the realities of the swamp talk you out of the guarantees that you have with your Savior. And part of what it is to be the family of God is we help each other along the way. Sometimes it's the inspirational joy. I can't see her, but I wish I could. Alicia Knox. You want to talk about inspiration? She's such an inspiration to me. Because I know that there are some pretty tough days. And even when she's struggling, she's rejoicing. Let us be those who embrace this description. I pray, be this description. And if you're not, welcome to humanity, right? The description that I give, my words here, but my favorite description of a Christian, a disciple, true biblical disciple, three legs on this stool. You're miraculous because you're not a Christian without it. You're Christ-like to the best of your ability. You're not religious. You're loving and living like Christ as best you can. And then the third part, here's the big one. Work in progress. Every one of us. We're works in progress all the way home. Praise God, he's guarding that work. And that's part of the this that we rejoice in. Let's go to the other side here. I hate to throw a cloud over things, but it's important that you understand. There are counterfeit examples of joy, counterfeit examples of rejoicing. Those who would reject Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12. Those that are not truly in this place. Let me give you the passage. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For you bless the righteous. You cover them, O Lord, with favor, as with a shield. People who reject that, they're out there. And they're playing the part but missing the heart. Let me just give you a little bit of a forewarning. Anybody who is following false gods, any sense of joy or rejoicing, it's false and fake. Anybody who's following or believing in a false gospel, I don't care how excited they seem, it's a false joy. It's a false rejoice. Excuse me. Anybody who is following a false substitute. And let me just give you three. Hypocrisy. Anybody who's putting on the mask of joy, the mask of rejoicing. It's not real by definition. And so they're pretending to be something they're not. That's a hypocrite. Active hypocrisy will never lead to joy or rejoicing. Oh, there'll be counterfeits. It'll look, but it's not real. Let me take you to the next one. And this goes back to my beginning question. What's it going to take to make you happy? Happiness is a counterfeit of joy. Happiness is not joy, and it's not going to be at the heart of rejoicing. Say, Pastor Jeff, what are you talking about? Now, let me be clear. When you're rejoicing, when you have joy, you'll be happy. You know, make no mistake. But just because you're happy doesn't mean you have joy. You see, happiness is temporary. It's conditional. It's circumstantial. Well, you know, if so long as I get this, I'll be happy. What's it take to make you happy? Well, I need to get. See, happiness is born out of a self. And there's nothing guaranteed. Joy, however, is a gift of God and no one can take it away. You can ignore it. You can forget about it. I did over the last week. But nobody could take it away. Nobody could pull it out of me because God put it in me. Happiness comes and goes with the wind. How about this one? Pleasure. Another counterfeit. I asked you, what does happiness, pleasure, and joy have in common? I said, not as much as you might think. Do you know that pleasure actually goes against, it fights against joy? I want you to think about it. What's your pleasure? The idea is if I got what gave me pleasure, then I'd be happy. Maybe, but you wouldn't have joy. Fulfilling your pleasure doesn't lead to your rejoicing. I want you to just let that settle in. I spent 20 years in that desert. 20 years in that desert. So please, take this to heart. You go to the notes and I'll give you some references. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Go to Proverbs 14, verse 13. If you go to Luke chapter 8, verse 14, this is where Jesus is sharing the parable of the soils? Do you know when you get to the soil that has the weeds in it? We're actually told that part of the problem was when the cares of the world and the passions and pleasures of the flesh grab a hold, kills the word and the work of God in the life. Then the fruit didn't come because of the work of pleasures. Same in Titus 3:3 says, oh, you were a slave to pleasures. That's your problem. Let me share it with you, especially for our sisters. 1 Timothy 5, verse 6. Little tiny verse. Listen to this. If you doubt me, that pleasure is actually a counterfeit joy. God's word, not mine. She who lives in or for pleasure is dead. She who lives in or for pleasure, excuse me, is dead. Even while she lives. I was in that desert. Please understand that pleasure is not joy. And you can get all of your pleasures filled and you won't rejoice. The Bible actually points this out. Now, if you want to see it, right? I've talked about the theology. Let me just give you a picture. Everywhere you see the prosperity movement, they're not really rejoicing because their motive is about me. That's the essence of pleasure. Pleasure, by definition, it's fulfilling my hedonistic desires. It's me-ism. Pleasure focuses on me. The prosperity gospel movement focuses on human fleshly desire. The motive is not to glorify God. It's not joy. It's not rejoicing. Say, oh, you walk in, the place is alive. It's dead if it's not alive in Christ. And anyone or any group that pursues themselves and their glory over God and his is not alive. Similarly, same kind of ballpark, those that have the charismatic circus acts. You walk in and they're yelling and screaming and flopping around on the ground. That's not real joy or rejoicing. That's demonic. They're doing the very things that Jesus cast out. Instead, they're calling it a movement of God. That's not real joy or rejoicing. Think about it. We've got Easter coming up. Go back 2,000 years. The people that were rejoicing as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, would soon say, crucify him, crucify. They weren't rejoicing when he was coming to town. That was a worldliness. They wanted somebody that was going to kick Caesar's butt. They didn't want the Messiah, the true Messiah. You can walk through this again and again. Think about everybody who's pursuing and expressing joy in a Mr. Potato Head Jesus. There's no lordship. They're only happy because they get what they've concocted. Similarly with the cheap grace crowd, a Jesus without standards. A disregard for the word of God. I'm happy so long as they're just lukewarm compromisers. That's not real joy. It's not really rejoicing. And to be fair, same is true for the legalistic Pharisees. Well, don't tell me. I know, and I can do joy in Greek and Hebrew, and I've been teaching Sunday school for, and if it's a worker who's thinking that they've got joy because of what they've done, they're deceived. It's important to understand there are real world counterfeits out there. Well, let's finish with the upside, the positive. The Bible shows us that the God of creation, Christ himself, rejoiced. There's joy to be seen. In Psalm 104, verse 31, God rejoiced over his creative works. In Isaiah 65, 18, he rejoiced over his redeemed people. Luke 15 gives us three parables, all showing that God rejoiced over the finding of the lost. This is why we have a vision. Find the lost, grow the found. It blesses God as we rejoice in this way. You know, Jesus himself, he was joy incarnate. Jesus is joy incarnate, and therefore, Jesus is our joy. Look at Luke 2:10, Matthew 2:10, and understand that Jesus came to bring joy. John 15:11, John 17:13. In Matthew 13, Jesus actually shared another parable, and he likened the kingdom to God, the kingdom of God, to our rejoicing over the found hidden treasure of the gospel, of this, in this treasure. Jesus said, those in the kingdom of God rejoice. This is what we have. So our Christian rejoicing. Friends, understand that rejoicing is choosing intentionally to put joy and Jesus into the daily aspects of yours and my life. It's literally applying joy in Jesus to our lives. And we do it in a number of ways. We do it by living and loving our loving and living hope. We saw that last week. We rejoice as we pray and obey, as we worship, as we praise. In our being, all aspects of being, we're rejoicing. This is how we be. And if you think about it, again, on a personal level, some of us may say, hey, I'm struggling. I was this past week struggling to rejoice. What do? Remember your blessings. Remember your blessings. Remember this. In this. When I remember this, I will greatly rejoice. When I get distracted, when I get pulled away, when I throw my pity parties or I grumble or I look inward, I stop rejoicing. I've seen the enemy and it is me. I become my own worst enemy when I get sucked into the me-ism. I say, hey, I just want to be happy. Just want a little pleasure. I say, yeah, that's the problem. What do you mean? You're aiming at a counterfeit. Worst thing in the world could happen to you is you get it. Because then you'll be satisfied. Off the plantation. May we be those who come to realize. Let me show you the blessing chain again. Rejoicing is putting joy in action. It's a chain reaction that says, I'm going to celebrate that I'm in God's grace. I'm in the graces of God. I am in the love of God. He loved me so much. I'm in the mercy of God and I'm not in hell. I'm in a relationship that God put in place lovingly before I was even a thought. I'm celebrating. I'm rejoicing that I was chosen. Me, of all people. I tell my story. I said, God should have put me out like a cigarette butt on the sidewalk. I should have been the cockroach that you heard pop underneath his heel. I was the worst of the worst. Like Paul, I'm the worst of all sinners, and yet I get to be. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. I wasn't just chosen, I was called. I wasn't just called, I was justified. I wasn't just justified, he's sanctifying me. I mean, you just almost can't deal with it. It's overwhelming. Nothing compares or could even come close to being a biblical Christian. You get guarded along the way. This past week, when I wasn't oozing, you know what was going on? I was being guarded. When I was struggling and stumbling, you know what was happening? I was being guarded. You want to rejoice? Just think about all of this. And you and I, Christian, we're going home. We're going home one day to heaven. When you pull it all together, at the heart of rejoicing is the application of joy by grace and for glory. We get to, this is us. I want you to think about it. The essence of rejoicing, it's carrying the Romans 8:28 faith filter with you all the time. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. If I believe that, it's opened the door wide to the application of joy because I love and I trust him. Say, well, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, I know, but I love and I trust him. But it hurts. I know, but I love and I trust him. But did you not see the news? They cut the guy's head off. Yeah, I know, and I love and I trust him. Are you willing to, what, pick up my cross every day and follow him? Yeah, and I'm rejoicing in the privilege to pick up my cross and follow my king. I get to be an ambassador. Friends, rejoicing is not our response to good news. Rejoicing is our response to God's news. Rejoicing is the repeating of obedient joy. Say, obedient joy, where'd you get that? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, period. Command. Two-word verse. Not my words. Rejoice always. It's a command. It's a privilege. You say, well, I think that's a little bit obscure. Well, come with me to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Whole verse right there. My encouragement to you is to hear the command of your king. In this, you greatly, greatly rejoice. May it be so. Oh Lord, I come and I ask you now to be with each one that has heard your truth and love. And Lord, push that seed down deep into the soils of our hearts, especially those who bristle and have a hard time receiving it. And Lord, I pray in the next 10 minutes with three songs of praise that reinforce our privilege to have your joy and the opportunity to rejoice. May we never lose sight of you, your amazing grace, your miraculous gospel, and your magnificent glory. May we rejoice in all three, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I don't have enough words. I'll never live enough lifetimes to fully know your worth, to know all that you deserve. All of my deceptions, all of my duplicity, now there is no record. You assume the best of me, and this is why I thank the Lord for saving me when I was weak. So I will sing. This is why I thank the Lord for everything. And this is why I thank the Lord. All of my affection, everything I have to give, the sum of my attention is measured in the praise I lift. So this is how I thank the Lord for saving me when I was weak. So I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord. And this is how I thank the Lord for loving me and keeping me. So I will sing. This is how I thank the Lord for everything. This is how I thank the Lord. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, I will lift my praises to you. I will sing, I will sing, 'cause this is how I praise the Lord. is how I thank the Lord. This is how I thank the Lord. This is how I thank the Lord.
Was guilty, case closed, the end. No chance for me to ever leave this prison of my sin. Now I know it might sound crazy, but one day a key unlocked that cell. I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell and my nothing perfect. I still stumble every single day. I still get knocked down, but the difference now is that's not where I stay. 'Cause I got a savior who knows everywhere. Look up and see your victory is just up ahead. 'Cause there is a savior who knows everyone.